This chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, this is the chapter of the seven kingdom parables of Jesus. And I want to preach at least four or five sermons, perhaps one on each of those parables, and maybe one or two sermons to introduce the entire chapter because it's such a crucial chapter. I'm going to begin reading today in the heart of the chapter with verse 10. Matthew 13, verses 10 through 17. So you see, I'm not beginning at the beginning today. I'm beginning in the passage that explains much of what the chapter is all about. And I encourage you to listen very, very carefully with the eyes of your spirit as I read and ask God to manifest himself to your heart, to your mind, to your spirit, as well as to your listening, to your ears, as I read to you today. Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. You may like to know that Jesus has just spoken the first of these seven parables when his disciples raised a question. And the first of the seven parables is recorded beginning in the fourth verse, the third verse, and going through verse 8 of Matthew 13. And no sooner has he completed that parable than his disciples raised a question. So we break into the reading after the telling of the first parable and with their question. Matthew 13, verses 10 and following. And if you have a Bible or have access to one, there should be a Bible very near you. Open that Bible and have it handy there because we're going to be moving around a little bit in these three or four chapters right here today. Beginning with verse 10 of Matthew 13. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? Now, I've had people ask me that question. Why did Jesus speak in parables? But not so much that question as what is introduced by that question. What does it mean when it says that he spoke parables not just to reveal truth but to hide it? I take the perceptive Christian even to realize that. And not many people ask that question, but that's plainly what Jesus said. He spoke the parables more to hide the truth than he did to reveal it, and there has to be a reason for that. They said, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you, the disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now here is the most important principle in interpreting the gospel in this age, and it's so easy to miss. Verse 12. For whosoever hath, and he's talking about understanding here, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Now that requires understanding in itself, and God give us the grace to interpret that in these next several weeks, because that is the most important principle in the gospel of Jesus Christ for understanding in this age. What it basically means to anticipate it is this. If you have a deep, deep, insatiable thirst and hunger for God, He'll feed you and 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 never stop feeding you forever. But if you, exposed to truth, choose not to have that hunger, then you will just go on hearing it and never know that you are only hearing it. You may be in church every Sunday, but you are not fed, and you will begin to say, I do not understand. I can't grasp those things because you have chosen not to understand one way or another. And we're going to explore what Jesus says about that in this chapter of the Word of God. Now that's basically what that means. Now, we go into that in much greater understanding as these weeks go by, God willing. Now, listen carefully to verse 13. Therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. Now, that's a strange understanding. I was always told that he spoke in parables that people might understand. Not what he said. Therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. I must pause to tell you that the average church is jam-packed with people like that, and they do not even know it. They simply assume that by hearing they have understood. And you'll see a perfect example of that in what we have typically said this chapter means, which I must tell you it does not mean at all. You see, there are two ways to read this chapter, these parables. The one is the surface reading. And that's the way almost every commentator you'll read after reads these parables. But if you take only the surface reading, Jesus was totally inconsistent with himself. He said something somewhere that's not true if you take only the surface reading. You see, there is a much deeper penetrating understanding of these parables. And I have heard people again and again and again say, why, Jesus was so simple. Don't you ever believe that. He was so profound, you can study these parables from now on and you'll never begin to think. If you study them from now on, you have begun to fully understand what he said here. You see, there is a simple surface reading of these parables. That's very easy to see. Anybody can see that when they read it. But that's not what these parables mean. If that's what it means, Jesus was inconsistent with himself. There's something lying under the surface that it requires an anointed eye to see. And thus he gave the surface reading just to everybody. But that which belongs to those with the anointed eye comes only to those who have an insatiable thirst and a desperate hunger for God. And so there is an absolute division when these parables are told. And that's the purpose of their telling. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And then in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted or turned around, and I should heal them. So you see, all of the healing of your inner life depends on your deepest hearing of your deepest heart of the deepest truths of God. And you'll never know that healing until you come to an understanding of that truth. And that's the reason the deepest work of God is an exclusive thing. And it always reduces to just a small group of people because the masses simply do not want it. And Jesus was very plain to say that. Now look at verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Now that's the introductory understanding to Matthew chapter 13. I believe certainly that one of the key passages in the interpretation of the entire New Testament is found in this 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. In fact, let me be very plain. I believe that the most important single chapter in the entire Bible for understanding this age in which we live is this chapter we have before us right now. I believe it is the most important chapter in the entire Bible for understanding prophecy. And certainly the prophecy that includes this day, this time, and this age at its very, very heart. I do not believe there is another chapter that even approximates what this tells us about the understanding of this age, what we can expect inside the church in this age, and we are seeing it unfolding and developing right before our eyes, and what we can expect in the entire world in response to the message of the gospel of Christ in this age in which we live. There is no more important chapter in all the Word of God than this one. I'm amazed to discover how many people there are who seem to think that when the New Testament was closed, the last picture of recorded Christian history we have is in the 28th chapter of the book of Acts, the early book of church history. And when Acts 28 closes, most people apparently believe that this age is just left in the dark as far as what's going to happen, and there are no predictions in the Bible about anything until the coming of Jesus. So that this age is just a kind of blank spot in the Bible, and then Jesus comes back